Dr. Pollack, a question has been asked, how often might we be expected to use idarucizumab in practice?
Well, it's a good question and a logical question, and I wish I had an absolutely firm answer, but I don't. The best estimate of potential use that I can give you is that in the very large RELY study, which, remember, was the comparison between dabigatran and warfarin for patients with non-valvular atrial fibrillation, which is an older, often comorbid population, the number of times while in the study that patients needed either treatment for emergency life-threatening bleeding or had to have therapy interrupted for an emergency procedure ran about 1.5% per year. So if you've got an older demographic that uses your emergency department and there's a lot of dabigatran use, then you'll probably see more than that. If you've got a younger demographic or there's not much dabigatran use in your area, then this is going to be pretty unusual that you're going to encounter a patient who meets the appropriate criteria for using idarucizumab.
We have a two-part question on administration of idarucizumab. Dr. Pollack, the questions are, why is the drug administered as two vials? And the second part to the question is, does everyone receive the same dose?
So it's a great question, and there's actually both a scientific and a sort of superfluous explanation for this. In the RELY study, which I've mentioned before, that was the pivotal study for dabigatran in the suppression of stroke risk in patients with non-valvular atrial fibrillation. Most of the patients randomized to dabigatran in that large study, is 18,000 plus patients, had serial dabigatran levels measured in the central lab. And so we have a lot of experience with the natural course of dabigatran levels in patients taking dabigatran over time, including those who ran into trouble while they were taking dabigatran during the RELY study. And it turns out that because we understand the stoichiometric relationship between idarucizumab and dabigatran, it turns out that 2.5 grams of idarucizumab would reverse the median levels of dabigatran seen in RELY. And it also turns out that 2.5 grams in solution is stable for idarucizumab with a two-year shelf life. So Boehringer Ingelheim started making 2.5 gram aliquots in these vials that they knew had good shelf life, and we went to the FDA in getting the study approved and explained all this to the FDA, and the FDA said, well, that's nice, but if you're going to give this reversal agent without any quantitative guidance in terms of clotting assays, we want to be sure you're giving an overwhelming dose of the reversal agent. And so what we recommend giving is 5 grams. Well, it turns out if you look back at the RELY substudy data, 5 grams would reverse the 99th percentile of dabigatran levels seen in RELY. So it wouldn't reverse all of them, but almost all of them. And of course, 5 grams is just 2 of the 2.5-gram vials. It's not yet known whether or not a 5-gram dose could be stable in solution for 2 years. That's being studied. But for now, I think we're stuck with the 2 2.5-gram vials. The procedure in reverse AD and the label that subsequently was generated for Praxbond based on the reverse AD study is that every patient gets 5 grams, which means they get both vials. We have no data on the efficacy of 2.5 grams as a sole dose. If you've read the reverse AD study, the interim analysis that we put in the New England Journal, if you've read that carefully, you know that we did check clotting studies after 2.5 grams, but that was always followed with the second vial being given immediately thereafter. So we really don't have any outcome data on a 2.5-gram dose. The recommendation is that everybody, no matter what age, no matter what size, no matter what renal function, everybody gets 5 grams, and that means they get 2 vials. Both the FDA and the EU labels say that you can consider redosing if patients begin to bleed again, become unstable again, and there's some quantitative measure. In our case in the U.S., it would have to be an APTT, that anticoagulation is again occurring. And in that case, the recommendation is that you give another 2 vials, another 5 grams. So there's really no data on 2.5 grams or 7.5 grams. It's almost all on 5 in the occasional patient in the study, and I'm sure in practice who'll get 10.
There is another question regarding administration of idarucizumab. A participant has asked, would you recommend administering the product as a bolus or as a drip?
The study allowed both. My own experience and my own recommendation would be that when you've made the clinical decision that someone needs immediate reversal, it makes sense to push the drug in. And so my personal advice, not based on any science, because the science allows either a bolus or a drip, my personal recommendation is that you take each of these 50 cc vials and inject them as an IV push in the emergency department.
Dr. Pollack, we have an interesting question about usage of idarucizumab. A participant has asked, how much idarucizumab would you suggest a typical hospital maintain in stock, and what is the shelf life?
That's a very practical question, probably asked by a pharmacist who thinks about these things more intelligently than we doctors do. My own personal recommendation, given that no one would expect to use this drug that often, would be to keep two doses, so that's four vials, keep two doses in stock. That way, if you use one, you've got one in backup while you're waiting for replenishment from your central pharmaceutical source. The good thing is the half-life is 2 years, and it is my understanding that Boehringer Ingelheim, obviously we're not anywhere near the two-year mark for anybody who's got the drug in stock, but my understanding is their plans are if you've bought the drug and it expires unused on the shelf, they'll replace it for free. And other companies have done that with similar drugs in the past.
Thank you very much. And yes, I suspect that that was from one of our pharmacy colleagues. Dr. Pollack, thank you very much for your time today. We greatly appreciate your insights and the knowledge you've been able to share with us regarding idarucizumab and particularly the reverse AD study. Just as a reminder to our participants, if you have additional questions that you would like to pose to Dr. Pollack, please send those to info@medcomcall.com, info@medcomcall.com, and we'll make sure to have Dr. Pollack address those as well. Thank you very much for your time. We greatly appreciate your interest and look forward to your feedback. Thank you.